Hi, this is Liz, and welcome to my podcast, Spiritually Speaking with Liz. Well, we're back with season two, and I'm really excited. I've got some amazing guests lined up and a particularly good one today. First of all, I'm just going to remind you to follow us on your app that you use for your podcasts and like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, and you can leave any comments below. Okay, let's get going. Today, you can see we are joined by the Queen of Fairies herself, Catherine Camsey. So Catherine is the creator of Fairy Club, and she has written this fabulous book called My Mindful of Happiness Guide. So this is aimed at children. I mean, it could be read by adults, to be fair, but it is aimed at children. And Catherine is determined to help children grow up happy. What else could we want? She's dedicated her life as a person, her experience as a parent and an author to incorporate mindfulness into everyday life, bringing in the mindfulness, the happiness, and reaching out to children across the world. Catherine, welcome, and thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, it's fabulous. I see you've got a little friend behind you there. Those on YouTube will be able to see. Yeah.
My friends are never, fairy friends are never far behind.
Well, I want to dive straight in and ask you, what prompted you to write this book?
Oh, gosh, so many things, really. I mean, I'm a huge advocate of all of these modalities anyway. I've used them personally my whole life. Well, I say my whole life, probably about early teens, I sort of started to get into it, and I read a book called Betty Shine. It was my first sort of introduction.
I love Betty.
That was my very first sort of spiritual book, because I knew, you know, I believe in God and Jesus, and I believe in all those things, but religion wasn't, it just didn't resonate with me. So it was great to see that spiritual side of it and then connect all the dots. So it sort of like suddenly worked for me. And it was great, you know, and I had a pretty easy breezy life. I had, you know, a nice childhood, a great family, and everything was good. Hadn't had a broken heart.
Wow.
And then, yeah, I was good. Living my life. And then just tragedy struck. I had a series of horrible things happen. My niece got murdered in 2011, and it was so horrific. And anybody that knows anybody that's lost anyone, and we've all had loss of some sort. Like, you unfortunately don't get to live an easy breezy life forever. And we've all got a story. And that was mine. And it literally happened 10 days before I was supposed to get married. So I had to cancel my wedding in the midst of my heart being broken and having to deal with the police and all of these other things. And I really, really lent on all of these modalities, because I was wondering how I was ever going to smile again. You know, when something tragic happens, you sort of think, well, that's it. That's just me. I'm just going to be miserable forever. And how can I ever possibly be happy again? And there's just no way. And so I just thought, all I've got, and I think when anything happens in your life, you get offered two paths. You can sink, you can wallow in it, you can feel sorry for yourself, why me, all of these things, it's not fair. Or you can swim, and you have to find a way to pull yourself out of what I call the black hole. Because you can't wallow in it, because there's other people in your life, you have a life, and the people that have passed on for whatever reason, and you know, I do believe everything happens for a reason, and I do believe Alice, that was my niece, when she went, because she wanted to cause all these ripples. And in fact, it's because of her that really I wrote this book, because I saw all these little people in my life and I was like, they don't have all of these tools. They don't know that, you know, instantly if anything bad happens, you know, you don't want to be drinking wine, you don't want to be eating loads of sugar, all those things. Instantly that's the first thing you can do that's going to make you feel better.
Yeah.
You know, scientifically that's going to help you. Just to eat better, because it won't feed into that anxiety and all those emotions. You know, I knew about meditation, you know, giving my brain a rest. I knew about yoga, stretching, breathing, crystals, affirmations, you know, so important. And in a much shorter space of time than I thought I was going to be possible, I was able to find, you know, I was able to smile again, be happy and find joy again, because as much as she'll always, you know, have a stamp on my heart, Alice, and I love her, of course, she wouldn't want me to be sad about it and crying about it every day.
No.
And so I feel that it was her gift that she gave me. and allowed me to have all of those modalities. And I thought, you know what? There isn't really anything for kids out there. There is the odd chakra book and meditation and more, much more now. I mean, this was, that was a long time ago, but I just thought there was, why isn't there everything, even for adults, all of that information in one place? And I suppose what I came upon was that really every modality is a life work. You know, crystals, Judy Hall, you know, that's her life's work. You've got meditation, you know, people study it. They become, you know, Buddhists and go in the mountains and they study it. So to write a book about all of them really would be probably impossible.
Well, yeah, it would be. It really would be.
to write about it authentically and with real, you know, honesty and really have real power behind what you're writing. So what I did is, although I had all the years of knowledge, I went and met and sort of like got a lot of advice from people and consulted an expert on each modality, and everybody's credited in the book, and I talk about it a lot. Because I really, it took me about 2.5 years to write, because I really, really wanted that information to be informative, to be useful, to resonate with children, but to have power. And I really took that quite responsibly, because I knew how important it would be. So that's what I did. And that's really why I wrote it.
And I wanted to...
Sorry.
No, my fault interrupting you. Carry on.
No. I was just going to say, you know, it's important for children to have these modalities. And I really feel like me, when that happened, I already had my little toolbox of knowledge to dip into. But children aren't given that. Usually what happens is you go through your life, tragedy strikes, and then you go on that journey and then you're like, right, what can I do? And then that's, you know, and you hear all these stories about people how have overcome. So I feel like, wow, let's give them the tools now. So when life happens, which it will, they're going to know what to do.
I have to say, it's incredible what you've done and very comprehensive, because if I'll just show you for the people on YouTube, sorry for the people listening on the podcast, I'll just find you one page. So like this one. So this is a page about the meditation. And like you say, to bring a whole modality into two pages it is quite a feat, but you've done it. I think you've made it. You've demystified it. And I think that's what's so important. There can be a lot of, you must sit in a cave and meditate for so many years to call yourself a meditator, or, you know, you must do it this way for this long and all this sort of thing, where actually it is something that can be brought into everyday life, and it is something that should be brought into everyday life, something that should be brought into schools. But I love, and like with the crystals, because I'm a bit of a crystal addict, and I love the fact that you, I can't find her now, but you have these queens and kings. Here we go. So we've got the princesses and princesses of the Crystallite Palace.
Yeah.
The king and queen of Love and Light Land. And it just makes it really exciting for kids, but it's so informative what they're being given, which they probably don't realize the amount of information that they're being given, if that makes sense, because it's fun.
Yeah. Well, that was, you know, I really wanted to do that. My background, I was a TV host for many years, and I did all sorts of TV and a lot of kids' TV and things like that. So I know how to, well, I hope to translate important information in a way that children will love and understand it. So that's really what I wanted to do. And I hope I've managed to do that. In a way that they'll understand it, but also enjoy it. And that's why I'm currently in development of a TV show as well about it. Mm-hmm. Because I just think it's, you know, there's so many, you know, as a parent, you sort of like, you know, you want to get your kids off screen. Of course, that's important. We all struggle with that. But you're never going to completely get them off it. So why not create something that's fun, that will be, you know, as something that hopefully will be as engaging as maybe Paw Patrol or Peppa Pig, or something that children really enjoy, but also they're coming away and learning something and like, oh, hey, maybe I should tell myself I love myself if I'm over 70% water, and the science of water actually affects the way that your body works, and just chucking it in there.
The thing is, though, if you can get, and you will be able to, these characters brought to life, then it is as engaging as Paw Patrol and Peppa Pig, because it, you know, and they're giving that message across all the time, which kids just soak in and they watch it over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's right. And that's why I want it to have a positive message and come away with something that's really, you know, these modalities, practices, these daily habits, they're life changing. Yes, they really, they honestly do change your life, you know, and it's, you know, and I am, and, you know, I'm proof of that. And my other nieces and nephews that have these modalities are proof of that. And my daughter is proof of that. You know, she's nine. She's, you know, she's incredibly healthy. She's very well balanced. She's, you know, she's very inclusive. She's not, you know, and it's because we include all of these. I mean, she's not perfect. I'm definitely not perfect. I sound like
who? Nobody is.
Nobody is. I definitely make mistakes all the time. But it's just about giving children just these little nuggets of information. Mm-hmm. You know, my dream is that they come away from that book, and even if they have just one piece of information, even if they just resonate with, you know, crystals, they like the crystals, or maybe it's meditation or the flower of life or angels or whatever it is. And that's why I made it a guide, so that they can go through that book. You know, if you look at the front of it, it's a case of, oh, you know, I'm feeling anxious. What should I do? Well, go to pages 12, 15 and 24 or whatever it was. And it'll layer the modalities. What's the best thing to do? You know, a crystal with a meditation, and, you know, just stop eating sugar for a week. See how you feel. Things like that.
It is amazing how you've done that, how you've linked it all. And that must have been quite intense, actually, doing
it was
that.
Quite intense.
But that took over your life. Now, I have to ask you, because you've got some pretty heavyweight guests in here, haven't you? So you've got Vishen Lakhiani, I can never say his name. Yeah. He's Mr. Mind Valley.
Yes.
You've got Radhi.
Yes.
Radhi Devlukhi Shetty.
Yeah, she's lovely.
One of my heroes, John Edward. Love John Edward. I think he's amazing. Yeah. So you've got someone really. How did you get to meet these guys?
John Edward is become a friend of mine, because I met John. I'll keep it brief. I was in LA. My mum was a massive fan, and my husband was in a band at the time. And so the managers connected, and we couldn't get any tickets. Everything was sold out. And I was like, oh, I just want to take my mum. I was dying to take my mum. And so, and his lovely cousin, Kat, who has now become a very good friend of mine, she was a bit like, oh, you can't ring up and be like, you know, you just want to get tickets. And I was like, no, I wasn't being like that. I said, look, I will come. We'll definitely pay for them. I'm happy to go to the back of the queue. And that's what happened. She was like, well, you can't come to LA, but you can come to San Diego, which was like about an hour and a half away. And I don't think she thought I was going to do it, but we did. And we sat at the back of the queue, and we were, and then she was like, all right, you're not a diva. And I'm like, I'm just going to get tickets. I've been out with John a few times, and which I love. And because I just love constantly learning from him. And I asked him one day if I could put his, he always does that exercise at the end of every single show that he does. Mm-hmm. And he let me put it in. So that's how I met John. And he's obviously fabulous. I just saw him actually last Thursday, he came to Nashville. So that was how, with him. With Radhi, I heard her talk. I heard her very first podcast that she did with Jay. And it was the very first time she sort of was in the media. And I literally rang her I contacted her that day. So at the time, she wasn't as mainstream as she is now. Mm-hmm. And I contacted her and I just said, look, I just love everything that you say about, you know, the healthy eating. And, you know, I'd been following her personally for a while anyway, with all of her vegan recipes and just her positivity. And she instantly came back and said yes, like within about a minute.
Wow.
So that was great. And then Vishen, again, I just contacted these people, everyone you can get hold of. And of course, you know, they always instantly go on my vision board. I always meditate about it. I visualize saying yes. And I got everybody. The only person that I couldn't get in the book, but he has allowed me to make him into a graphic, is Russell Brand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I hounded him for a long time. It's, do you know what? It's having the perseverance, just having the guts to just go and think, why not? Because the worst thing people are going to say is no, which
exactly.
You're no worse off. And then just really applying all of these techniques, you know, manifestation, vision boards, journaling it, intention, you know, you know, speaking it into existence. Oh, great. I can't wait for, you know, John Edward Stewart or, the, you know, or Roddy or, and, you know, and this stuff works. I mean, the only reason Russell couldn't do it, and I spoke to him for his assistant for a long time, was because he was like, look, I would love to do it. I would, you know, I think it's great. However, because of his book contract, he wasn't able to.
Oh, right.
So,
okay.
He just signed some book deals, so he wasn't allowed to appear in anything else. But he has allowed me to. I've got a brilliant. I could send it to you if you want. With him talking about gratitude and everything, and I've put him into a cartoon. So
yeah, and I'll link it onto my YouTube and I'll link it to the podcast too. Yeah, fabulous.
That would be great. Yeah, I love Russell Brand. I think he's such a brilliant soul. I know he's controversial and he's not everyone's cup of tea.
No, but he gets it out there. We did the festival, Happy Place. It's called Fern Cotton,
yes.
Runs it.
Fern, yeah.
And he was speaking there. And he is, he's sort of like more engaging in person. I don't know why that is. I think he's very charismatic, isn't he? But he is exactly like you say. He's not for everybody, but he just says it how it is. And I think that's refreshing. Yeah. And some people can't cope with that. But I love honesty.
He is just, when my niece went to heaven, it's the way that I like to frame it. Mm-hmm. I set up a charity and I spent years sort of like collecting money. And we built a treehouse in her name. It's at Black Park next to Plymouth Studios. And nothing to do with me, but my sister knew someone that knew him, was a friend of Laura's. His girlfriend at the time, and they found out about it. And you know what? He waited until all the press went. He waited, and then he just turned up because he remembered Alice. Because Alice had a friend that was in a wheelchair, and she used to take her to all the Russell Brand shows, and he used to put her in the front row. The Alice and this girl that was in the wheelchair, and he used to call her Sex on Wheels. So he remembered, and he'd met Alice a few times. And she was without a shadow of a doubt an earth angel. You know, if you met her, you remembered her. And and he remembered her. So he turned up, and I promise you, he was there for hours. And I spent a lot of time with Laura, who was the nicest person in the whole world, very kind, you know, super generous. He didn't do it for press, he didn't do it for accolades, he spent time with every single person that came to that event. And I just think, well, that's he's a beautiful soul. I mean, that's just and
that's
as
nice.
You know,
yeah, that's
so,
that's really nice. Well, that's the measure of a man, isn't it, if we can do that and not be there for just doing it for the press and the feedback.
He waited for them to go. He wasn't there for that. He wasn't there to get acknowledgement or trying to get in he was there just because he knew that that was an important thing for us as a family. And, you know, and it was huge. It was amazing for my sister. You know, it made you know, for a mother to lose her daughter is horrific. And it was just, he's, I don't care what anyone says, I'm a big fan of his and his wife. I think they're both amazing.
No, that really is truly lovely. That really is from the heart, isn't it? That's very heartfelt.
Well,
and
why wouldn't you do that if you've got the ability to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's why wouldn't you? So I think that's lovely.
Yeah, me too. I totally agree. On a shift then, back to you as a teenager. So what brought you to Betty? Our lovely Betty Shine.
I'll tell you what brought me to Betty. I had a boyfriend at the time, Daniel Fellingham.
Hey, Daniel.
And
now
my first love. And he had a lovely sister called Catherine, Catherine Fellingham, and she has a boyfriend and I was only 16 when I met him, and I sort of really got in with their family. And she had a boyfriend that killed himself, and he shot himself. And it happened before I had arrived. So she was sort of like she was in the healing process. And she told me once about this spiritual church that she wanted to go to. And I was like, oh, what's a spiritual church? Because I wasn't in, you know, hadn't really heard about them. So she was like, do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I went with her, and they did this whole, he connected with her, talking about something. They had this whole sort of like moment, and it was like things that no one else knew but her. And it was amazing. And I was just like, I was just blown away. And at the end of that session, the lady said, if you're interested in this, get into Betty Shine. It's interesting. And I went and I spoke to my mum, and it was funny. She just started reading it.
Wow.
So she gave me the book. You know, there's no such thing as coincidence, right?
Nope.
So she gave me the book, and then we all went as a family on this big journey together, really, learning all about, you know, everything. And then then there's Judy Hall, and then there was, you know, I was always an avid reader. I was actually quite chronically dyslexic as a child. So I got sort of labeled as like not particularly bright, or, you know, put in a class that didn't really excel me, which is crazy now that I've written all these books, but it just shows you how you can overcome, right?
Absolutely.
And that part of that dyslexia was, you know, the person that had helped me, she was like, just read and read and read. So, and that's what I did with spirituality. I just read everything, every course. I've been on crystal courses, essential oil courses, angel courses. I mean, I love it. It's never been a chore or something I felt that I'd wanted to learn, or, you know, it's just been it's just my passion. I suppose it's just exactly what I'm supposed to do. And the tragedies that I've had, because, you know, since then, after Alice, I lost 2 years later my best friend, Polly, to cancer. We used to live together in London. It's, again, horrific. And in January of this year, I just lost my mother.
I'm so sorry.
It's just been really tough. But, you know, again, it's how you frame it. It's, you know, of course, I've had sad times and I've cried, and that's important to grieve.
Yes.
It's really important to do that, but also to try and find, if you can, a positive in it. And I just think I've obviously was given some angels in my life. And the trouble is, when you get angels in your life, God misses them, so he takes them back.
Yes.
And my auntie said that, and that it's always sort of stuck with me. And that's what I think. You know, I've had, you know, Alice and Polly, the best friends you could ever have, and I had the best mum you could ever have. I know most of us think that. But so I think in any sadness, in any tragedy, as bad as it is, you can find joy and you can find gratitude and you can overcome. And I hope I can be a beacon of light for people for that, because that was the one thing when Alice went to heaven. I needed somebody to say, you know what, you're going to be all right. You will smile again. You will find joy. You can pull yourself out of this. And whatever deck of cards life's given you, play your hand the best you can. Because what else have you got? It's all you got.
It's so true. But what an amazing outlook on life. And I tell you what, I love that as a family, that your mum was reading Betty Shine, so that you've all come into this together. You've all had this belief, because mainly in spiritual circles, most people, you're the odd one out in the family.
Right, yeah.
But I think that must be so nice to all come together
and learn together. Yeah, exactly. And it's been gifts that, you know, if my mum loved John Edward, you know, we grew up watching Crossing Over, and, you know, we were big fans, and anything my mum loves, I loved, because, you know, she programmed me that way. So, you know, it was my absolute love for my mum, which made me, you know, a dog with a bone about getting tickets that were impossible to get, which made a friendship with somebody that's, you know, a lifelong friend that has now, you know, now vibrates in my guidebook. So, you know, it's everything happens for a reason. You know, we're all connected. It's amazing how small the world actually is.
It really is. Yeah. It's quite amazing at times, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we should, you know what, just help each other. It doesn't matter if someone's doing better than you at a time, then, you know, that, you know, you can pick people up, you can hold people on your shoulders. People have helped me on their shoulders. You know, my guidebook is, you know, it is all of my knowledge and everything, but also all the people that I've connected with and have generously given me that information and let me use their image for free. I didn't pay anybody to be in that. But because they realize the importance of children to have it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, any opportunity I get, and if anyone's listening and wanted this, any opportunity I get to donate that book, I do, because it isn't from me. It's, you know, it's channeled information. It's other people's information. It's, you know, it's, I'm lucky enough to be the voice for it. And probably because I am tenacious and I am a bit, you know, intense. But you sort of have to have that fire in your belly to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I get, I often, you know, give it to, if I can give it to hospitals or foster homes or children's homes, then absolutely that's, you know, it's, that is really my calling card for all the other things that I want to do. You know, the TV show, I eventually want to create a park like Peppa Pig World, where you go and visit, so you can go and do a little bit of yoga. You can learn about, you know, a room full of mirrors where we all look at ourselves and say, I love you. And, you know, right. These are all, this is all my knowledge from, you know, people like Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer and Abraham Hicks. And, you know, this, we're all a combination of everybody else, aren't we?
We are.
And so let's share it. So, yeah, that's just going from what, you know, going back to what Russell Brand did, you know, he uses his platform for good. And if he did that for me, I wonder how many other people he's done that for and made a little difference. And I hope I get the opportunity to do that, because that's what we're all here for, really. Holding each other's hands, supporting each other, and just making it, you know, just let's all vibrate, make it a little bit better.
Yeah, it truly is. I 100% agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I want to just ask you, where did the fairies come to you?
Oh, gosh, the fairies. I have been obsessed with fairies since I was born, basically. Just anyone, if you ask anybody, my whole life. God, do I say this or not? I suppose I should.
Yeah, go for it.
When I was little, I used to see fairies all the time.
Wow.
In trees and like, and my mum was like, worried about you. And I used to go and, like, you know, I mean, I have got such a huge vivid imagination, but they're just part of me. I probably was a fairy in a previous life. It's just always just been my absolute love. It's always been my favorite thing in the world. I've always been obsessed with fairies. You know, if I ever have to, you know, call myself something, it's a fairy, or I've just always loved them. My house is full of a million fairy doors. I've got fairies everywhere. You know, pictures of fairies, drawings of fairies, books of fairies. You know, I was huge into all the fairy stuff. You know, the sort of like the Brian Froud stuff. You know, Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of those sorts of movies. Anything to do with anything whimsical, Neverending Story. I know that hasn't got fairies in, but that sort of like fanciful sort of world. And I just love everything. I just love, obsessed with everything about them. And it's funny because I recently found out that my grandmother used to see fairies.
Oh, wow.
And they really did think she was mad. And she had to deal with all sorts of things because of it. But she used to talk to my mum about it. And then I found out, and I didn't know this, that she used to be an author.
How could she not know that?
Well, my dad's side of the family was up in Sunderland, and we were down south, as they say. And so, and she actually went into a mental institute when she was quite, after she had my dad, because she had postnatal depression. And in those days, they didn't recognize that, you know, it wasn't a thing. And also, you know, fairies, she's a bit, you know, she had postnatal depression, you know, in those days, that's what people did. They got they got put in an institute. They actually gave her a lobotomy.
Oh, God.
This is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, talking about mental health and, you know, awareness and all of that. So it's interesting how, yeah, how did I not know that? In fact, it was only when I started on this sort of author journey, because I knew that she was an amazing pianist. And that was always the story about her. And I only met her a few times. But yeah, then my mum found a news article that I'd got where about her books. And then I recently, at my mum's funeral, that's the first time I've said that. At my mum's funeral, I met up with some cousins from Cornwall that I haven't seen. We used to go down to Cornwall every year. I haven't seen for years and years, donkey's years. And they were like, oh, we've got your grandma's books. And I was like, what?
Wow.
So we're going to make a trip to Cornwall and go and hang out, and I'm going to get to see her books. And I'm just I'm just super excited about that. And I actually wear her wedding ring.
Oh, that's nice.
I have to wear it on my thumb because I didn't want to have it made smaller. So I just wanted to wear it. So I feel very connected to her. Marjorie Camsey was her name. And I suppose we're kindred spirits in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
A long answer to the
No, it's fascinating. What were her books about?
her books were about a little bunny and, you know, again, a fanciful sort of world and all sorts of. I haven't even read them yet. So I'm waiting to go down. You know, they don't want to like send them or anything, but we're going to get together. I'm going to read them. So, but yeah, all sort of fanciful sort of books, a bit like me, really. They're wet. Away with the fairies.
It's the best place to be. How amazing is that?
I know, it's amazing. But that's what I mean. There's no, the older you get, the more you realise that we're all sort of here for a reason and we're all connected. And that's why, you know, if you can vibrate in a way that is positive, you'll bring the right people in and you'll connect with, you know, your guides and people that will help you from afar and your angels. And, you know, and then you'll also bring people in that are around you. The amount of people that I've met just, and you're like, what? The coincidences are unbelievable, you know? You are only like, I think they say it's like 4 handshakes away from anyone in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. And that's what I hope to teach as well, you know, change your vibration because, yeah. You know, if I'm in a bad mood or if I'm like really, you know, if I'm having a difficult day, you know, my husband's like, oh, I can turn Ellie's off. And I do. I affect the electrics and all sorts of things. I'll just tell one more fairy story. But I was in a TV studio once and I was talking to this and she was asking me about fairies. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm obsessed with fairies and this and that. And she was like, well, let's invite the fairies in. And I was like, well, they're a bit
sure.
She said, no, come on, let's do it. And I went, all right, then. So we started talking and we were talking about the fairies and we were inviting them in and everything. And it completely shut the studio. The producer was going, what's going on? I was like, I thought you should invite the fairies.
Oh,
and it was funny. It sort of like took it off air. So yeah. So
they are a bit naughty. Yes.
They are a bit naughty. They are. They are. But fun.
Very fun.
Who wouldn't want to be a fairy?
And who wouldn't want fairies in their life?
I know. Well, they are mischievous. You just have to welcome them in, but with love, and get ready.
When you come to Cornwall, you'll have to come up here. I'm in Yorkshire. And if you Google it, Cottingley Fairies.
I know Cottingley Fairies very, very well.
Well, that's very near where I live. Well, about half an hour away from where I live.
They were literally my first obsession. They were some of the first pictures that I got. You know, the fairies that they took. So, yeah, I love, big fan. Like I say, I'm very obsessed with fairies.
Come on up and I'll take you to Fairdale.
I will. I've got around about 50 different fairies now, so
that's covering some
and covering every modality. Well, it's funny, they almost like I see them in my head and then I just have to I have an illustrator that works with me and she's brilliant because it's very hard to find an illustrator that will do exactly what you want. They have their own interpretation. So I spoke to a few until I found Julie Anson, who's fantastic, and she does them for me. But she'll do them down to even the tiny little detail on the shoe, and I'm like, the heel's got to be this big. And I must drive her insane.
Well, but you know what you want, and so it's that clarity of knowing what you're seeing. Yeah, I was going to say you're seeing them, so you've got to give them the credit.
I have to give them, yeah, they're already there. And so, yeah, everything. So I'm very lucky, again, being very blessed by a lot of amazing people in my life that have helped me.
That's lovely. And it's lovely to have that gratitude.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I wouldn't have even met Julie if it wasn't for another friend of mine called Alison McNichol. They call her Pickle. And she was so generous. She's done very well on Amazon and with books and everything. And she spent like hours and hours and hours just giving me her time for no money, just helping me. And it's, you know, I sort of sometimes think, wow, why are all these people helping me? I don't, you know, why are people so generous? And I think, and I always like to remember that because, you know, with all the things that go on in the world, we recently, I don't know if you know about that shooting that happened in Nashville.
Yes.
That recently, a few days ago, and that's, you know, really affected our community. And a friend of my friend's it was her little girl. Mm. And as sad and as dark and as awful as that is, and how horrific that, and the impact that's going to have, we have to remember that there are a lot of really, really good people in the world as well. I think that's really important to don't get pulled down by the negativity and try and rise yourself up again to try and keep that vibration up. It's important.
100%. I think the media pull people down that loop, don't they?
I stopped watching the news probably 4 years ago. Same. I just don't watch it. It's just, in my opinion, it's just fueled by fear, especially in America, you know, especially with COVID. And do you know what? Turn it off. It just doesn't happen then. It just doesn't exist. I don't read gossip magazines anymore. I used to avidly, you know, all of those, because it's just rubbish. It's just utter nonsense. And it's pulling other people down. So what? Making yourself feel better. Oh, they're having a bad time. Oh, I'm glad that's not me. You know, and we've all been guilty of it. You know, I've gone through that. I've done things in my life, or, you know, said things, you know, certainly when I was a teenager, that I'd never do in a million years now, you know, but we're all on this evolving journey, aren't we?
Exactly.
And that's why I think it's so important to give kids this information, give them the knowledge, you know, like I don't know if you've seen the plant test or the rice test.
No.
So something else I've got is a 120-page workbook that goes along with the book. It's sort of like, and I'm trying to get that into the schools at the moment. It's something that I think is really important for kids to study. And they do this test. There's two different ones you can do. You can either do it with a plant or you can do it with rice, and either or is good. But I'll tell you the plant one. You get two different plants exactly the same. You put one in one corner and one in the other, or one in one room and one in the other. And on one of them, you call it the love plant. And every day, and you put all signs on it, like love, friendship, beauty, green, fresh, healthy. You stick all those affirmations on it. Mm-hmm. And then every day you go to it and you say, I really love you, plant. You're so healthy and green. And you're really hydrated. And you talk like this to the plant. And you really, you know, a little bit like what Prince Charles said when they said he was crazy.
Yeah,
talking to all the plants. And then you go into the other room, and on the other plant, you have hate, ugly, you're fat, you look dry, or you're not very green, or you put all these things. And every day you go and say something horrible, you know, oh, you don't look very nice today. Your leaves look a bit dry, or, you know, you talk like that. It's a scientific fact. It's been done many times. The plant that's got love and has all the positive affirmations and gets given loving energy thrives. And the plant that's given negative energy and all the hate affirmations will shrivel and die.
Oh,
now that is a scientific fact. So
I've heard about it with plants. Yeah. Sorry, but not with rice.
Rice is the same thing. The rice will stay white and fluffy. That's given the love, and the rice is in my workbook. Actually, I'll send you the worksheet for it so you can see it.
Okay. Yeah.
The rice that is sent the hate goes black and moldy, and this it's just these are science. This is, you know, if you. Because I understand that some people might not be very spiritual and they're very much more science-based. And that's fine, you know, that's fine. So let's apply the science to the spirituality, which is what Einstein was trying to do, which is why he was so controversial, and see how you feel about it then. You know, it's like there's an amazing doctor, Dr. Amoto, that wrote a book about the hidden messages in water. And it's and I write about that in the workbook as well. Because if you can scientifically change the molecules of water by the words and the affirmations that you say to them, that's a scientific fact. It's a study that's been done. Mm-hmm. And if you are nearly 70% water and you're looking in the mirror and you're saying, oh, I look ugly, or I look this, or I look that, then that's the molecules you're actually physically, scientifically changing the molecules. So why not look in? And as Louise has always said, you know, look in the mirror every day. I look in the mirror every day and go, I love you. And I've got a picture of myself as a little girl and a picture of my mum holding me as a little girl. And I give myself a kiss and I'm like, I really love you. Do the best that you can today. Today's going to be a great day. You know, I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm, you know, I'm all anything that you need to say to yourself. I'm confident. I'm brave. I'm strong. You know, every single day, it's so important because you are always listening. Mm-hmm. So it's important to say that to yourself, and also what you say to others, you know. And was I always perfect as a child? Absolutely not. You know, I was in the cool gang, and, you know, and there was mean girls, and, you know, you learn lessons from that. And it's come back to me, you know, when I moved here first, it was really hard to make friends and connect with people because it's like landing on a different planet. But it was karma, you know, whatever you put out, you get back. And yeah. You shouldn't be nice to get nice stuff back. You should be nice because you should be nice.
Because you want to be. Yeah, because you want to be, because you feel it.
Yeah. Okay, totally. Yeah, that's important. So I think let's give these kids, you know, if somebody had done that rice test or that plant test with me when I was younger,
that would stick.
That would really resonate. You don't think about it, having a laugh with your mates, or, you know, that would really have a huge impact, you know. Yeah, and if you teach children about that, or, you know, if you said to children, you know what, I had a holiday in Mexico and we were overeating and, you know, drinking sugary drinks. And I came back and I actually had an accident out there. I fell off I was washing my feet in the sink. Why didn't I go in the shower, you asked? I was tired and I was like, I'll just be quick.
Oh, bless you.
Anyway, so I fell off the sink, smack, like
oh
this.
Oh, God.
Really thought, I've been in a lot of pain, really hurt myself. And I had about a day of feeling sorry for myself and like, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to do? And my husband was like, what are you doing? Like, affirmations, stop drinking sugar. Oh yeah. You know, everybody needs that reminder. And I instantly was like, but I'm not, I had a whole day on the sofa because they said, right, you need to rest for 6 weeks. I was like, rest for 6 weeks? Like, I'll try. And I tried for about a day and it just got really down about it. You know, then I started thinking about my mum and, you know, and I spoke to my energy healer and she said, you know, often when you lose somebody, you go through grief. If you don't acknowledge it, if you're not dealing with it, life will put you, it'll stop you.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, and I think that's what it did, because I sat on that sofa for the day and I really was like thinking, and, you know, I'd overeaten in Mexico and I'd done all these things. And I just thought it was a reminder, because it made me really, you know, I had a good cry about my mom. It gave me time to look through some pictures. My husband gave me a kick out the bum and was like, what are you doing? Like, stop being, you know, if you need to rest, absolutely rest. And he was fantastic. He did everything in the house and the washing and everything. He goes, but don't lose yourself. Don't let this take you down. And the next day I didn't, you know, I got up, I did my affirmations, I did some gentle stretching. I completely cut out sugar. I'm doing celery juicing. I'm doing my affirmations, my meditation, walking in the grass, barefoot, earthing, using frequencies, you know, 432 hertz music, all of it, cover myself with the flower of life. And I feel 1,000 times better.
Yeah.
And my body is healing way quicker than it should have done. I had to go see a chiropractor and he was like, I can't believe that you're not in agony still. And I was like, oh, very. So
I think we can all slip off the wagon, can't we? But it's not having.
Everybody can.
It's having that support team around you, like your husband saying to you, come on now. We just need that reminder. Sometimes, not always. And then you just start, get your tool bag out again, don't you? And just start. Yeah. But always start back at the beginning, because that's where all the juicy stuff is.
That's it.
Get back in again.
Exactly. So
let me ask you about your beautiful girl, Blissbell Buttercup.
Yes.
What do you do with her in her, because I'm sure as a 9-year-old, she'll be quite against some of what you're saying for some of, oh, mom, you know, that type of thing. But what do you do with her on like a weekly or day to day thing that you do together that you can recommend for people?
Well, we've always done it. I've done it with her right from teeny tiny. We've always balanced her chakras, which she's loved, because, you know, children just want time. It doesn't matter what you're doing with children. So whatever your thing is, whatever you love, do that. That's what I would say, because that's number one, time, giving your, just sitting with them, doing something and engaging with them. Because my passion is all of these modalities, that's what I engaged with her with. Mm-hmm. So crystals have always been, she's got her own crystal collection. We go crystal digging in Arkansas. So we go, and she's actually just started her own little business, Bliss's Crystal Wishes.
Oh, bless.
So all the crystals that we collect there, we put them out, you know, we put them out in the sun and the moon. We do happy affirmations for them. And they're like little wishes for people. So that's something that she loves crystals. She's very passionate about that. Loves. And in my book, you can see about how you can charge the crystals, how with my little poem that you've got and everything. She does a lot of crystals. We do a lot of affirmations. I make her write, positive affirmations that she can say about herself. Look yourself in the mirror. And it's, you know, it's all the way again, isn't it? How you frame stuff. Like when she was born, when her teeth came through, she had a gap so big. It was like another tooth. It looked like a tooth was missing in the middle. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? especially living in hillbilly land. Oh my God, what am I going to do? And also she's got very strong glasses as well. So I was like, right, that's great. So it became her lucky gap. She was so lucky that she had it. And every morning I'd be like, oh, where's your lucky gap? But I made it so lucky that she was so worried it was going to go when a new team came through. I didn't want to, in America, they do, it's because it's a little bit tongue-tied, you can have it cut, but I didn't want to do that because it was purely cosmetic. Uh-huh. So every day we just looked in the mirror and she was like, I've got my lucky gap and I'm so lucky that I've got my glasses and I get to change my look every time. And it's just how you frame it. Literally. Really and that's what we did. And she sort of said to me once, I caught her looking at herself in the mirror one day and she was like, do you think people get really jealous, mummy, that I've got a lucky gap and glasses? She goes, because I don't want them to feel bad.
Oh, but that's fantastic, isn't it? Giving kids that empowerment.
And that's brought down from my mum. My mum used to say that to me. She always used to say, always be kind, Catherine. She goes, because you know, you're a lovely looking girl. Obviously, she can say that. She goes, you're so pretty. She goes, girls are going to be jealous of you because they want to be you. And boys are going to be jealous with you because one day they're going to want to marry you. So always treat everybody with kindness.
Aww.
And I used to, but it gave me such a strong foundation.
Yeah.
Build on it. Gave me such confidence. And it also gave me empathy for others because I had that self-confidence about myself. I didn't feel threatened by anybody. So if people were mean, I was like, oh, I feel bad for them. You know, I actually want to give them a cuddle. which is crazy.
It's not. It's lovely. And it's not. Yeah. If children were, well, like with the book, but if children were reinforced with that every day, you know, what is seen as a flaw, but no, that's a lucky gap. And are you lucky being able to? I think that's so
exactly. And who's to say it's a flaw? You know, it's like societies. You know, our kids are dealing with way more than we had to deal with. You know, I grew up, you know, and it was, you'd be on your bike all day. There was no social media. There was nobody. You could go home on a Friday night. You'd have a whole break. So if there were people at school that were mean or anything, you got 2 days of love to fill up before you went and dealt with it again. But children don't have that luxury. Not only are they dealing with social media, which is all filters and rubbish, and, you know, we're all victim of looking at other people's posts and thinking, oh, why wasn't I invited? Or what happened there? And also a pandemic where they saw their parents in fear, especially in the UK. I mean, we better all join hands and help each other and give people this information. And that's why I always say, you know, I don't want this to be something where if people need it and they can't afford it, then I'll happily give it to them because it's so important. It's so important. And I like to join and link with, you know, it's so nice to be able to be linked to somebody like Radhi and Jay Shetty that do such powerful work, and John Edward and all of these people, because if we all stand together, it gives everybody a bigger platform to stand on, which gives everybody a louder voice, which means more people get touched by it. So I'm all up for collaboration and sharing, and you know, I think it's imperative.
It really is. I totally agree. There can be a lot of elitism with things, I find.
Yes.
But I think that what you're saying is that it doesn't matter, as long as the message gets across. It doesn't matter. There are many ways to Rome, as long as everybody gets there in some, you know, following whichever path works for them, then that's all that matters. That they're helping one another. So I'm going to ask you one final question, if I may.
Yeah.
You could speak to, so maybe 9-year-old you, thinking you've got to be known. If you could speak to 9-year-old you and give her some words of advice from you now, three words of advice, snippets of advice, what would you tell her?
I would say to her, be kind to yourself, because it's important how you think about yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I love you. my voice went funny there. Because I dealt a lot with dyslexia, and I dealt, everybody in my family was super skinny. Like, they were just naturally super skinny. I was not. So I dealt with, that bothered me. So, but you know, it doesn't matter. I'm just a different shape from everybody else. You know, now it just is so, it's so irrelevant. It doesn't matter. But my 9-year-old self, that was, you know, I would say that to her, give yourself a cuddle. Mm-hmm. I would say, be kind to others, treat other people the way that you would want to be spoken to, say the words that you would want to hear, and never ever ever be unkind, because you never know what somebody's going through. You never know their situation. We all come from different environments, rich, poor, loving, non-loving, great families, bad families, you know, and we are a product of that. So sometimes people show up to us in a way that we might not like, but maybe they're going through something. Maybe they had a bad phone call or something bad happened. So I would say that. I would say to my 9-year-old self, you don't know what your friend's home life is like. So just be kind, because that's important. And the third thing that I would say to her would be, let me think, what would be the third thing that I would say to her? It's really, really, really important what you put inside your body, not because of weight, not because of what you're going to look like, but how it can absolutely hugely affect how you feel. It makes a dramatic difference. Sugar is basically food for anything bad in your body. Making your body alkaline will make you vibrate more, better, you know, on a higher level, which just makes, if you feel better inside yourself, everything outside is better. So it's not about losing weight. It's not about, you know, trying to fit into an ideal. It's about how you're going to feel. And I know just by drinking lemon water, I start every morning, lemon water. Same. I have that. I let that sit in my body to clear out my liver for about half an hour to an hour. Because I'm healing at the moment. I'm doing a celery juice protocol, which is unbelievable. You know, it resets all of your cells in your body. So that's really important. Just really think about that. Really think about that, because it does make a difference. And I would say to any mums that have any anxious children, or, you know, think about what you're feeding them. And I know we know this, but really, really think about it, because it does make a difference. If you do nothing else, give your kid a smoothie once a day. So that, you know, shove a load of greens in there and water and some super greens. And, you know, I'll just say this, my daughter's 9. Touch wood, don't want to tempt fate. She's never been sick. But amazing. She just hasn't. And that's because of, you know, probably luck, a lot of it. Because I do believe that.
Yeah, but is it?
I think children come in and they choose you. I think, like, I got the right person for me. But also, you know, if there's anything, I just know how to deal with it. The first thing, you know, if anybody feels a little bit unwell, the first thing we do is go and stand in the grass. That's day one. That's the most important thing you can do. There's actual studies about it now, about how it changes your blood circulation once you ground. And we're constantly surrounded by, you know, electricity and all of the horrible stuff. So, you know, if you do nothing else, go and stand in the grass with your kids every single morning. So very long answer.
I like a long answer. No, it's good.
Way too much.
You're giving a lot of information. Oh, Catherine, listen, thank you so much for joining me. It's really been amazing chatting to you. We first met in London, didn't we, at the Mind Body Spirit.
That's, I know. That was amazing.
And it's just so kind of you to come on. I've enjoyed every minute, as I know everybody will. I'll put all Catherine's details in the show notes below. Links to her book, links to her Instagram page and her website as well. Thank you for joining me, and I hope to see you again soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.